بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحابه ومن اتبعه بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Praise be Allah and may His peace and blessings be upon His Messenger Muhammad, His family, His companions and whoever follows Him righteously until the Day of Judgment. My brothers and sisters in Islam, this deen, this religion is a gift bestowed upon us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us ask ourselves, why is this life so short? So that usually a person wouldn't live for longer than like 70, 80, 90, maybe sometimes 100 years. So why is it such? And these days and hours and the minutes which make up the years, they pass by even faster. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, the hour, the judgment day, will not begin. It will not begin until time passes quickly. So a year will be like a month, and the month will be like a week, and the week will be like a day, and the day will be like an hour. And Allah knows best, but it seems that this is already happening to us. Because when you think about something that happened to you, for example, 2 or 3 years ago, sometimes you feel like it's as if it happened just yesterday. So why is this life so short? Because it is not the primary, it is not the final destination. It's not the main destination where we are going. This is not what Allah has planned for us as our final destination, as our eternal abode. But instead, He has another place He has designed for us and He wants us to earn it. To give a worldly example about this, and of course, there's a huge difference between things we earn in this life and the things, and between earning eternal life in Jannah. But just to give an example, so think about a father and a child. So this child wants to play on his phone, for example, for an hour. But in order to earn this, father says that first you need to read the Quran, for example, for 10 minutes, or you need to help your mother to clean the room, anything good like that. And if the child does that, he gets what he has earned and he gets to play on the phone for an hour. And on the other hand, the father has set the rule that if the child doesn't do what he was told, or he does something bad, some time will be deducted from this playtime, or he won't be allowed to play at all. So this is a dunyawi example. It's a worldly example, but just to make it a bit clearer. But what Allah speaks about is something far, far greater than this. He speaks about rewarding the believers with an eternity in paradise, in Jannah. And from the beginning of the time, He has told the mankind to worship Him. Allah says in the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. I have not created the jinn and the mankind except for that they would worship Me. And this worshipping is in the temporary life, which the hadith describes as being the average of between 60 to 70 years, or which nowadays could be a bit higher in some countries. So just 60 or 70 years, we all have to worship Allah, and in return, what will He give us? He will give us an eternal life in Jannah, in paradise. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the worldly life and how Allah compares in the Quran the worldly life with rain and plants it causes to grow, and how it pleases the farmers seeing all those plants growing, but then after a while it becomes dry, yellow, and it turns into dust. We talked about how our main focus should not be this worldly life and how we should instead all strive for reaching Jannah. Allah says in the Quran, قُلْ أَوْنَبِّئُكُمْ بِخَيْرٍ مِّن ذَٰلِكُمْ لِلَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا عِندَ رَبِّهِمْ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا وَأَزْوَاجٌ مُطَهَّرَةٌ وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ بَصِيرٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. Which means, say, shall I inform you of something better than that? For those who fear Allah will be gardens in the presence of their Lord, beneath which rivers flow, wherein they abide eternally, and purified spouses and approval from Allah. And Allah is seeing of His servants. So for those who fear Allah and abstain from things that anger Him, with their Lord are many paradises. Jannat is a plural for Jannah. So for a single person, there can be stored many gardens by Allah. And underneath which rivers flow, and pure beautiful spouses, and pleasure from Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of everyone, watching everyone. Brothers and sisters in Islam, you've all heard about paradise, and you've all heard about Jannah, but some people think about it as some kind of a fantasy. They can't really grasp the reality of it. And hopefully today we can draw a picture that makes it a bit clearer for us, so that we could bring ourselves closer to the description of Jannah and what it really is as best as we can. But at the same time, nobody can really describe Jannah perfectly, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, فيها ما لا عين رأت ولا أذن سمعت ولا خطر على قلب بشر. In paradise, there are things that no eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, and it hasn't even occurred to the heart of any human. And when this word khatara has been used, it's like a thought that comes to mind. It's something like occurring in mind. And Allah uses the word qalb, meaning the heart. So not only it is a thought in brain, but it's also a thought in like feelings, emotions, feelings. No one has ever experienced it. Because, you know, sometimes we say like, you know, I feel like something, but I don't really know how to describe it. Have you ever like felt something like that? Or I feel like I want something, but like some kind of enjoyment, but I can't really name it. I feel it, and I wish you could feel it too. I could give it a name, but you can't. So Allah says, no one has ever experienced that type of feeling. And there are things like that in Jannah. So how can me or anyone really properly describe Jannah? And all we can do really is give like a tiny little example of what Jannah is like. So starting with how people enter Jannah, Allah says in the Quran, وَسِيَقَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا رَبَّهُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ زُمَرًا. But those who feared Allah, those who feared the Lord, will be driven to paradise in groups. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوهَا وَفُتِحَتْ أَبَوَابُهَا وَقَالَ لَهُمْ خَزَنَتُهَا سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ طِبَتُمْ فَدَخُلُوهَا خَالِدِينَ. And how beautiful is that picture? They are in groups entering the Jannah, and the gates are open, and on the gates, there are angels greeting them, standing there to welcome these people. And they say to them, and what do you think is the first thing they say to them? They say, peace. And this is what we are all yearning for. We are yearning for an everlasting peace in our heart, and for the rest of our lives, as well as physically, and in our feelings. We want peace in our ears, in what we hear. We want peace in our eyes, in what we see. And that's the first thing that the angels say. Salamun alaykum. Peace is all upon you. Tibetum, oh how pure and wonderful you are. Fadakhuluha khalidin. So enter it to abide eternally therein. Brothers and sisters in Islam, now let us describe this moment when you're about to enter Jannah. And when you enter Jannah, inshallah. And the following is based on books of tafsir and some authentic hadiths. So you come to the doors of Jannah, and you don't enter it straight away, because guess who has to open the door? It's Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he grabs the ring of the door, like this round handle on the doors, big doors, and only Allah knows what this ring looks like, and only Allah knows the perfect description of this door and what it looks like. But it's marvelous and it's huge. It's really wide. It could be hundreds of kilometers wide, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doors to Jannah are wide, and His generosity is immense. The first person to knock on this door is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the guardian behind the door, the angel, he asks, who is it? So he says, with all the humbleness, Ana Muhammad, I'm Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the angel says, Bika umirtu alla aftaha li ahadin qablak. It is you who have been commanded to not open the door to anyone before you. And the door is opened. And he, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the one who is privileged to be the one for whom the door is opened, the door of Jannah. So imagine, brothers and sisters, if you would be among this first group to enter the gates of Jannah with the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, other people are waiting you see some people in groups, and you come to the, and as you come to the doors of Jannah, there's like a waiting area, and the doors get crowded. They get really, really crowded, as in the hadith. And there are people waiting. You know, someone when they travel in the planes with the in the first class, you also have these special waiting areas for people, luxurious waiting areas. And this area gets special services. So you're waiting there in this waiting area of Jannah, and the first thing you're given, it is to quench your thirst. After all this time of waiting, this whole day of judgment, you're given wine, which is mixed with ginger, to refresh yourself in this waiting area. And you are with these beautiful people with bright faces, and they're all smiling, they're all cheerful. They're all telling you, you know, come and read my book. And you're like, no, come and read mine. So he says, like, you know, come see what I've done here. Everyone's happy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has wiped away all their sins. No one knows them. It's a secret between you and Allah. And you begin to boast about your book out of happiness. And no one feels jealous of anyone else for some reason. The feelings are starting to change. Because Allah has said, وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍّ. And we will remove whatever is in their hearts, in their breasts, of resentment. So there is no jealousy, no envy, no competition, none of that. And everybody is happy for everyone else. In fact, everyone's happy also for what they have received. And then the entrance begins. Your name is called out one by one. And you are called by the best names that you were called by in this world. And your father's names, the best of names. So as you enter into Jannah, you get lost in the beauty of what you hear, what you see, and who you meet. Everybody runs after their own palaces and their own belongings. The Prophet ﷺ tells us in a Sahih hadith that the person will go to his palace and property and he'll know exactly where it is. Just like they knew their homes in this world, or even better. Allah suddenly puts in your heart this know-how, how to get to your property. You know it because it belongs to you. It's yours. And everybody's busy. You want to go see, you know, you want to go see your property. You want to go see your spouses. You want to, you know, people want to see, go see the angels. They want to see what Allah has stored for them. So they enter and imagine the beautiful sounds you're going to hear. There's a hadith in Sahih Muslim which says that Israfil, this angel that blows the trumpet in the Day of Judgment, he will sing in Jannah, and his voice is unbelievable, like you've never heard before, never. So you just don't enter paradise and it's dull, there's nothing there. It's filled with the most beautiful sounds and the most beautiful fragrances and the most beautiful sights, the things you see. And the standard look of Jannah, like if you were look to the floor or the ground, you know, when you walk outside on the streets and you see these small pebbles, you just kick them around side of the streets. These small pebbles in Jannah, they're gems or diamonds or pearls. And different types of gems that you walk on. And this is the most insignificant part of Jannah. It's just the ground. So imagine what your buildings are built out of. Imagine what, and subhanAllah, there are tents in Jannah and they're actually hollow pearls. They're huge. Huge pearls, one big pearl is like a tent. Its size is about 60 miles in length. So I wonder what's in there. And one of the best things that people long for in the Jannah, for men, the women are the women of paradise, namely al-hur al-ayn. So there's some people who think that when there are gatherings, when which sisters are attending, that this thing is best not to be mentioned. But just because al-hur al-ayn are there, what is there to be afraid of? There's something for women as well. Some people think that how come men get women and women won't get men in Jannah? But that's not entirely true. We usually just don't talk about it. One of the most well-known scholars of the past, Ibn al-Qayyim, is for example also of the opinion that women also get spouses there. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَفِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِيهِ الْأَنفُسُ وَتَلَذُّ الْأَعْيُنِ. Which means, and therein is whatever the souls desire and what delights the eyes. Now I leave the imagination up to you, but marriage in general is something what everyone desires, to have a companion. And that's one of the most natural things. So this happens in Jannah for both men and women. So if a woman desires to marry in Jannah, this desire will be granted for the general meaning of the above mentioned verse. And in Jannah, there is everything that you desire in our nafs, your soul, your inner self. And this nafs has many different desires, many different wants. And what delights your eyes, what it enjoys looking at, that's what Jannah has in there. However, let's inshallah first get there, and then you know we can talk about in detail what we have in there. And brothers and sisters in Islam, so you enter Jannah and you go to your palace, and you're looking around and you see these beautiful trees with trunks made out of gold. So gold, what's that gold like? Is it like the gold of this world? No, the silver. Is it like the silver of this world? No. So you look at it, it's gold. You know it's gold, you know that's silver, but it's not like any gold or silver that you've seen in this life before. And the trunks of these trees are huge, the leaves are massive, and the shade is also huge. It takes a horse to gallop, to a swift horse, not just any horse, for 3 days to just cross the shade of some of these trees. That's how big these trees are. So you go along the way, and your eyes have already been taken away by the beauty of everything you see, and you're even taken away by these pebbles you step on, the normal ground you're walking on. So you're like, is this my land or is this my land? Are these my palaces? No, it's just the standard of Jannah. And you're going, and suddenly your face changes, your body changes, your appearance changes, everything about you changes. And as in the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, the people of paradise have no hair on their bodies and are beardless, with kuhul rimmed eyes. Their youth will never end and their garments will never wear out. So you enter and you reach your palace and you see it. And the minimum of which is made out of is gold and silver bricks. And these bricks are kept together with musk. Allahu alam how, but that's how it's going to be. And the light in Jannah is humongous. It emanates from the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's the light of Jannah. There's no sun. The light comes from the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you reach that palace, over there are some people waiting for you. The people who are waiting for you, one of them is your spouse, your wife. Now, some sister might think, like, how did I get there first? But the sister has been taken there, escorted by angels, and she's prepared. You know, just like here in this world, the bride is prepared, and she has more time to get ready, much more time. Until the groom comes along, and then he meets her, and his eyes drop out of his face, because, you know, like when people meet the people they're going to marry, the wives they're going to marry, the future wives, they're going to see them in front of their mahram, they're going to sit, and they're going to talk, and they get to know them. But this day they will get married, She's going to be done up. She's going to be wearing this beautiful dress with all the makeup on, etc. So she's like, she looks completely different. So this man thinks like, oh, you look like this marvelous woman. And this is the same case in Jannah. She's also prepared and with a beautiful dress, and she looks amazing. My brothers and sisters in Islam, and these palaces, they are huge. It's even hard to describe how big they are. One room in there, a standard one, is about 60 miles long. And how many rooms are there? Allahu alam. And how many palaces are there in your land? Allah knows best. So when you enter them, what do you have prepared there for you? Obviously, when you go to a place and you're a guest, you know, people want to welcome you to an opening. Like when someone opens a new place, a restaurant like that, we also like have this opening and it's made to look really beautiful. Same will be in Jannah. You will be welcomed there with a meal when you get there. And you will have company there. The best company is your spouse. But there are also other people who will come and serve you. And Allah describes them in the Quran. You will look at them as if they were pearls, beautiful white, and they are young people. And these are servants for you, and they bring happiness to your eyes, and all they want to do is to make things good for you in there, and they're really happy to please and serve you. They're your servants. You live like a king there, a king upon a king upon a king. And the least least thing a person gets in Jannah, the last person to enter Jannah, he gets this world tenfold. So that's what the least thing you get in Jannah. The last person who gets to Jannah gets that. So imagine what the people who get there first might get. And in Jannah you have these special rivers, and there are four of them. They exist throughout the Jannah for all of its inhabitants, but there are also rivers specifically for you. So you have your own rivers, and you have these general rivers for all the people of Jannah to drink from. And there are rivers of milk, rivers of water, a river of honey that is pure, and a river of wine. But again, do not think about this water, the water of this world. Don't think about the milk of this world, or the honey, or the wine. Because you keep drinking from it, and you never get enough. You maybe want to stay there at this one river for 100 years just to drink from it, because it's just so good. And then you go on, you go on, and you say, let's say you find an apple tree. So you are like, I know this is an apple tree, but it doesn't look like the apple trees that I knew before, and it doesn't taste like an apple like that I knew before from the dunya. But why do you think it's an apple tree? Because Allah gives you this knowledge about your Jannah. You know it's an apple tree. You go and taste it, and you're like, it's not any apple like I've tasted before. And every bite you take from this apple is better than the one you take before, than the former bite. And then you might want to stay by that same apple tree also for a long time, because what happens in Jannah, you never become full, but you're also never hungry. In Jannah, you also never go to the toilet. There's nothing that smells bad anymore. A group of Jews once asked the Prophet ﷺ about it, and they said, you know, in Jannah you eat, and the Prophet ﷺ said, yes, you eat. They said, you drink. He said, you drink. Then they say to him, okay, well, like, if you eat and drink, then where does this food and drink go? Because they thought, like, you know, so they said, like, I thought in Jannah there's no impurities, there's no bad smell. And the Prophet ﷺ, he told them that it comes out as sweat. And before you think about the smelly sweat we have in this dunya, there's no smelly sweat in Jannah, but this sweat, it comes out as pure musk. So you go on, and you see another apple tree, and the angels say, eat. You say, but we just ate from another apple tree before. But they say, no, this is different. Allah says in the Quran, وَأُتُوا بِهِ مُتَشَابِهَا, and it is given to them in likeness. So it means the color is the same, but it tastes different. So you're given fruits that look alike, and they look like other fruit, but they taste absolutely different. And you keep eating as much as you want, you never get full. What is left? So what is really left in Jannah? It's pure enjoyment and desire. That's all that's left. It's just pure enjoyment. And you can eat all the sweet things, and you'll never have to stop unless you want to. You'll never become too full. You'll never get like any diabetes. You don't have the overweight problem. No medical issues. And you can just eat whatever you want, as much as you want. So brothers and sisters in Islam, Jannah is a pure enjoyment. And all the negativities that a person feels in this life, be it sickness or tiredness or boredom, there's none of that. There's no boredom. Like, you know how kids say sometimes, like, you know, I'm so bored. Like, let's do something. There's none of that in Jannah. And when there's everlasting enjoyment, this means that there is no room for boredom. It doesn't exist. It's just not impossible. It's just not possible. So all of the negativities are instead given to the people of hellfire. And may Allah save us from it. And everything that is of positivity and enjoyment is kept for the people of Jannah. And how do we know that? It's first of all, it's in the Quran. But Allah also gives us an example of these feelings in our lives here. So you know, as we live here, you're living, we enjoy things. And we also have harm from things. And the same things we enjoy, sometimes we get harm from these things. Eating cakes, for example, or anything sweet. If you eat cakes all the time, you can become overweight. You can get problems with the teeth, whatever. But none of that happens in Jannah. You keep eating chocolate in Jannah, and you never get sick of it. Here in this world, you can eat the most delicious food, the best food, the most beautiful food you like. But then at the end of the day, you get too full. You suddenly start feeling sick and you don't want it. You maybe start even hating that food after that. But in Jannah, none of that happens. So brothers and sisters in Islam, in Jannah, you're enjoying all of this. You're enjoying your spouses, you're enjoying your palaces, you're enjoying the people that are serving you, and the food, the water, the fruits, and all these beautiful enjoyments, wishing for anything that you can wish for. So now all of this that you experience in Jannah, it has already like taken your mind away, because everything is so beautiful around you, all these things you experience. Then you find out that there is a market in Jannah where you can buy things. Buy things, well, not really buy, because you actually don't buy, you just go there, you wish, you look, you want, and you take it. So yeah, there is also shopping in Jannah in that sense, for those who love shopping. And there is a hadith about this market in which the Prophet ﷺ has said, in Jannah, there is a market to which the people will come every Friday. The northern wind will blow and shower fragrance on their faces and clothes, and consequently, it will enhance their beauty and loveliness. They will then return to their wives, who will also have increased in their beauty and loveliness, and their families will say to them, "We swear by Allah that you have been increased in beauty and loveliness since leaving us." Thereupon they will reply, "We swear by Allah that you have also been increased in beauty and loveliness since we left you." So you meet your wife again, and you look at her, and you say, "You look more beautiful than before." And she also looks at you and says to you, "You look more handsome than before." And what happened? He says, like, "I just went shopping." So she says, like, you know, go shopping, you know, again and again. And it's not like here in this world how when men have to, you know, sometimes take their wives out to shopping and they don't like it, they get tired and bored. But there, everyone will enjoy it. So when you come back from that market, you look nicer and you smell nicer. And subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He can make this beauty increase in infinite levels. So He can put beauty upon beauty upon beauty. So every time you come back, you see your wife is more beautiful. The wife sees that you are more handsome. So subhanAllah, it's endless. It just piles up with no end. And when you're in Jannah, maybe you want to invite your friends over. Maybe you want to, you know, let's say party with them the whole night. So, but in Jannah, there's no night. So what do? Maybe you could wish for your own little night. So what did the verse mention before? مَا تَشْتَهِي الْأَنْفُسِ مَا تَشْتَهِي الْأَنْفُسِ So what's the problem? There's no problem. You can wish for it. Whatever the souls desire. And one of the people asked the Prophet ﷺ, "Can a woman get pregnant in Jannah? I want children." So that's the way, like, you know, Bedouins ask the question, like, "I want children." You know, how can, you know, they had this rough kind of way to ask. And the Prophet ﷺ tells him that a woman gets pregnant in 1 hour and gives birth and returns back to the way she was, like, you know, like she was untouched. And there is no agony or pain if you want children. And brothers and sisters in Islam, another man, he wants to farm in Jannah. So the guy wants to sow seeds and plant. And the Prophet said in a hadith about him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of the inhabitants of paradise will ask Allah to allow him to cultivate the land. Allah will ask him, "Are you not living in the pleasures you like?" He will say, "Yes, but I like to cultivate the land." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam added, "When the man will be permitted, he will sow the seeds and the plants will grow up and get ripe, ready for reaping, and so on, till it will be as huge as mountains within a wink." Because in Jannah, when you plant a seed, you suddenly see that the beauty of your crops starts racing with your eyes. You can't even keep up with this beauty of these plants growing so fast. So when thinking about Jannah and the vastness of possibilities of what we can do there and enjoy there, let's keep in mind this ayah, وَفِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِيهِ الْأَنْفُسِ, and therein is whatever the souls desire. Because not everything is mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah. There's no way, you know, everything could have been, you know, conveyed to us in the Quran and the Sunnah. So everything that we desire, we can have it based on this ayah. And finally, in conclusion, There is one more thing in Jannah that I would like to mention. So now you're in Jannah and you've already been taken away by all this beauty, by all this enjoyment. And you've forgotten about something that is most important than the most beautiful gift that the believers are given. Because everything is already so beautiful. And there's even a hadith of the last person who enters the Jannah and he sees a light coming down and he thinks this light is coming from Allah, but it's actually coming from his wife. SubhanAllah. So then someone calls out to a gathering place. Everyone's called to gather in one place. And you all gather and you sit in different positions. You have like first class, second class, different levels. You look at the people of higher levels. And in the hadith, it says like, you see them as if they are stars above you because of their good actions. So everybody's sitting and there's no obstacles anywhere. And suddenly you hear someone and he says to you, "My servants or my worshippers, are you pleased?" And we say, "Oh, our Lord, we are pleased." And Allah tells people that there will be pleasure from Him upon them forever and that He will never be displeased with them. And He says, "Do you want me to give you anything more?" And the people will reply, "Have you not made our faces bright? Have you not brought us into paradise and moved us from hell?" So you can't really ask anything else after all this beauty and enjoyment you've already experienced. But there is still one more thing that Allah has promised, and now He will fulfill this promise. So you're sitting with your spouses and all the inhabitants of Jannah in one place, and then Allah removes His veil. And you see Allah, subhanAllah, you see Allah, you see your Creator. Allah says in the Quran, وَجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. Some faces that day will be radiant, bright, looking at their Lord. And Ibn al-Qayyim has said in his poem, which in English doesn't sound anything like in Arabic, but the meaning is that they look at their Lord and suddenly there is no more beautiful thing that they have ever laid their eyes on after what they have laid their eyes on already from the beauty of Jannah than the sight of their Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you see Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, you forget about all the beauty you have seen before. SubhanAllah. And what could describe the beauty of Allah? Nothing. SubhanAllah. Brothers and sisters in Islam, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us this beautiful reward of the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for it is really a huge reward. And it is a pleasure in itself. And Jannah is largely about seeing Allah and speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finally. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make Jannah our abode. I ask Allah to forgive our sins. I ask Allah to accept our deeds. So brothers and sisters, do you want Jannah? Then now is the time to work for it. Jazakumullah khair.